your coronavirus update.
Fewer individuals seeing their primary care physicians.
Confirmatory evidence for the value of CT and lung cancer screening in smokers and those at high risk.
Does cool running water improve outcomes in kids that have burns?
That's what we're talking about this week on Double T Health Watch, your weekly look at the medical headlines from Texas Tech University Health Sciences Center in El Paso. I'm Elizabeth Tracy, a Baltimore-based medical journalist.
And I'm Rick Lang, president of the Texas Tech University Health Sciences Center and dean of the Paul L. Foster School of Medicine. And this will be the last time that we will announce that Double T Health Watch. We just changed the name to more align with the university that is supporting this podcast, a podcast that Elizabeth and I have been doing for 15 years running.
It doesn't seem like it's been that long. Let's turn to our coronavirus update. And I'm going to say maybe we should switch the terminology to 2019 N-COV, although that doesn't trip off the tongue. And I'm just guessing it's not going to penetrate the public consciousness. Of course, the virus has penetrated the public consciousness tremendously. Just this morning, the CDC has laid out guidelines for assessing a person's risk for acquiring 2019 nCoV. Clearly, among people here in the U.S. who are considered high risk, anyone who's been in Hubei province, China, in the past 14 days, those living in the same house, being an intimate partner of or caring for a person who is symptomatic, has lab-confirmed infection, without consistently following recommended precautions. These are the high-risk folks. Symptomatic high-risk people should be put in immediate isolation with recommended medical evaluation, and asymptomatic high-risk people should be quarantined and monitored daily, and their recommended quarantine period is 14 days. They also identify those at medium risk, and interestingly, as far as I'm concerned, they say medium risk could include being seated within 6 feet of a symptomatic lab-confirmed person on an airplane, which is about 2 seats in each direction, could put you at medium risk for infection. And I think, boy, that's going to have a lot of impact on the travel industry really shortly. As of this morning, they have over 20,400 confirmed cases in China, 425 deaths, and lots of folks being evaluated, deaths, of course, outside of China as well, and person-to-person transmission, with one important retraction, which was last week, the New England Journal of Medicine published a study that was looking at asymptomatic transmission in a German woman, which they've since said, no, wait a minute, she was taking medicines to reduce fever and myalgias and arthralgias, so she was symptomatic, but I think points to the fact that, gosh, there's all this furor surrounding trying to get our arms around this, and that does result in that kind of a report escaping surveillance, if you will.
In a corresponding study in Lancet reports that for every individual that gets it, they have the ability to infect about 2.7 individuals. The quarantine sometimes takes place in a medical facility, sometimes it's taking place at home.
One other thing I'll add is that I gather that the CDC is going to make available a rapid PCR test nationally so that folks who are trying to assess whether someone is infected will be able to do that really pretty easily. Let us move on then to this study that came from Annals of Emergency Medicine that I thought was really informative, taking a look at what is the best strategy for immediate management of a burn in a child.
In adults that have burns, placing that burn under cool running water for a period of 5 to 20 minutes can improve outcome. There's still some discrepancy among different guidelines in the United States, Australia, United Kingdom about whether it's 5 minutes or 10 minutes or 20 minutes, but it's clearly beneficial in adults, but nobody's ever done the same study in children. So that's what these investigators attempted to do. So this is a prospectively designed study. It was a registry study of kids that were managed at a tertiary children's hospital. There were almost 2,500 of these kids. About 91% received first aid involving running water, but only 71%, however, received it for the duration of 20 minutes that was recommended. And only about half of those, by the way, had it done at the site that the child received the burn, as opposed to several hours later. But regardless, almost 10% of the children needed skin grafting. And what they determined was that the children that received the cool running water for 20 minutes, it decreased their need for needing a skin graft by about 40%. Other secondary endpoints, there was a reduction in full depth thickness of the burn, there was a reduction in hospital admission, and a decrease in need of operating room intervention in those kids that had cool running water. And by the way, there seemed to be a time dose. So the children that had it for 20 minutes did better than those that had it for only 10 or those that had it 5. But even any running water showed a benefit for kids with burns.
I think this is such an important message, and I'm happy that we at least have some platform for getting this message out there. I wish that there was a way that we could promulgate this publicly. So many people attempt what are kind of bizarre and old wives' tale sorts of interventions when it comes to burns, and especially in kids. It just breaks my heart that they could end up having to have a skin graft when something pretty simple could really prevent that outcome.
Right. People put on salves and aloe vera and ice. And what this study shows is that the maximum benefit is received from just using cool running water. And by the way, applied as quickly as possible. Having said that, there is some benefit even if it's applied up to 3 hours after the burn is obtained. Now, I should note that this study was for kids that suffered thermal burns. It didn't have anything to do with acid burns. But again, applying cool running water very quickly, very easy to do and very beneficial.
Let that be the message. Cool running water immediately when a burn takes place. Avoidance, of course, the best thing. Let's turn to the New England Journal of Medicine. This is a study that takes a look at volume-based low-dose CT screening in people who are at high risk for lung cancer, smokers, and former smokers, and whether that actually helps to reduce the outcome of mortality from lung cancer. This has been a moving target for some time here in the U.S. We've had all kinds of things, studies going on and suggesting that this can really be helpful. This is a study that took place in the Netherlands and Belgium. They had 1,300 plus men and 2,500 plus, almost 2,600 plus women between the ages of 50 and 74, and they were randomly assigned to either undergo this CT screening at years 1, 3, and 5.5, or no screening, and then they followed them up for a minimum of 10 years. They basically found that this volume CT lung cancer screening of both high-risk former and current smokers, and they also introduced something that was called a growth rate assessment as an imaging biomarker for tests that were in that indeterminate range, did result in both low referral rates for additional assessments, which I think is a really meaningful outcome, and substantially lower lung cancer mortality in both sexes than no screening, even though their screening intervals increased over time. So I think that there were some important aspects to this study that add to the efficacy with which we can employ screening in this high-risk population.
Previous studies have shown in this high-risk population that doing CT scanning can reduce cancer mortality. You know, when I say high-risk, these are individuals that have smoked for about 30 years and more than 10 pack years. The trouble with that is there are a number of individuals that have small little nodules. The risk of working these up, doing biopsies and doing unnecessary procedures, kind of tempered the enthusiasm. With volume-based CT, what happens is you assess, and if it's a certain size, that makes it more likely to be cancer. You've identified that. If it's small, then you do a follow-up CT to see if it's growing. And interestingly enough, about half of the new nodules actually went away, so you didn't have to work them up. If it looked like they were growing, then that would indicate it's probably cancer, and those individuals would be subjected to further evaluation and therapy. What they showed is they decreased cancer mortality, but more importantly, they were able to recognize cancers in the very early stages. So about half the cancers they recognized were in stage 1 or 2. Those that didn't have screening, stage 4, when it really wasn't treatable. So volume-based CT in high-risk patients identifies cancer earlier and, importantly, reduces lung cancer mortality.
And the other thing that's interesting about this, of course, is something that I think there's been a lot of speculation about for a really long time. These incidental findings, especially in the lungs, and that they may actually spontaneously resolve. And this provides us with a snapshot of that.
Absolutely. To our listeners, if you're high risk, that is, if you're between the ages of 50 and 74 and you have a long history of smoking, you need to ask your primary care provider, and we'll talk about those individuals shortly, about whether you should have a volume-based CT screening.
And now that you've promoted that, let's turn to Annals of Internal Medicine. This study taking a look at how many folks are going to see their primary care docs, even though they have insurance to do so.
As you noted, now about 90% of Americans have insurance, but there's been a disturbing trend that there are fewer individuals with insurance actually seeing their primary care physician. So these investigators attempted to quantify that. 2008 to 2016, visits to primary care physicians declined by 24%. This decline, by the way, was most notable among the youngest adults, those that did not have chronic conditions, and those that had the lowest income as well. What this study doesn't do is it doesn't explain exactly why that is. But the investigators propose several things. It's possible that people are now making fewer unnecessary medical visits. And by the way, the number of preventive visits went up. Just the number of routine scheduled visits went down. Alternatively, the physicians may be coding it differently. And the reason for that is because over this time period, the cost of the individual for the primary care visit went up from about $30 to $40, but the cost of the preventive visit went down about 75%. So it may be that the physicians are now coding it differently. And the last trend that they noticed was that the use of alternative visits has gone up about 50%, alternative being acute care centers, but also things like online visits. Maybe people are replacing their primary care visit with using these alternatives. But for whatever reason, they've identified a clear decline. The next step is to say, how does that affect quality of care and how does that affect the health of the individual?
I wonder about the impact of something we reported a couple years ago, which was the idea that, gosh, you really don't need an annual visit if you're a healthy person.
If this decline in visits is because there are fewer people having unnecessary visits, then we'd all say that's an advantage, that's a more efficient healthcare. If, however, this is individuals that need care or should receive care or receiving it later, then that's a problem. Again, this study really doesn't address that. So, Elizabeth, I think your question's a very good one. I think we need to take it to the next step.
Yeah, actually query people, why aren't you going? On that note, no doubt next week you're going to be hearing more about the coronavirus, or I guess I should call it 2019 and COVID. That's a look at this week's medical headlines from Texas Tech. I'm Elizabeth Tracy.
And I'm Rick Lang. Y'all listen up and make healthy choices.